This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for ENN. And we'll start off today by saying good evening to Michael.
What are you guys laughing about? Did I miss something?
You weren't happy that day, were you?
You guys, even Wachusen said it earlier, the lack of respect that the guy whose name is on the show gets, it's just amazing to me. It really is. It's almost inconceivable that this happens in this country.
Do you believe that we're gutlers in doing that?
Yeah, I do.
Gutlers!
Now, real quick, RJ, do you have any clips of from towards the end of the show yesterday of Michael and I? Things were said. Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No. Oh, I know.
One of the great moments in the history of the show.
What are your initial thoughts on the Redskins' name officially being retired?
Well, before I say that, Michael, I got a text from a guy, Mark.
Oh, destroyed you. I don't know if I've ever been happier on the air.
I got to tell you, I wasn't happy at that moment.
It was great, too. I mean, it harkens back to the days when we used to have Bill Parcells as a weekly. And Don adores Bill Parcells.
Oh, yeah. Much in the same way
one
I love
his idols. Yeah.
Right.
And Parcells week after week. And every single time Ryan would tell him, you're on with Michael and Don, every question would be, well, Michael, it killed Don. To this day, it's taken years off his life.
And it seems like it's always New York legends who get Don, like Chris Mullin.
Yeah, sad.
I mean, Mullen just refuses to call him Don.
Chris, it's Michael Kay and Don LeGrecken. Congratulations.
Michael and Don, thank you very much.
No, Chris, we know you know the game, but just coaching for the first time, what do you think some of the challenges will be for that?
Well, there'll be a lot, Dom.
And is it necessary to be that big again for this to be a success?
Well, Dom, I think it can.
Chris, was it hard to be away from New York for that long?
Initially it was, Dom, initially.
Good luck, Chris.
Good luck, Chris.
Thanks, Dom. Thanks. Michael.
You got it. And every time I would say Michael Kay and Don LaGreca, just hoping that I would. Chris is a great guy. I wonder if he was doing it on purpose.
Here's the thing. Great guests use the host's name because it makes hosts feel good.
Yeah.
It does.
If you're taking classes on how to have a press conference, you always try to use the person who's asking you the question, their name.
I believe the best way to get respect from the media you're talking to in a press conference is to start off before you answer and point at them and go, you're fake, and then answer.
I'd give the Knicks mic one, you guys.
Now, speaking of celebrities making you feel good because they know your name, I would say you could argue it's as cool a connection as I have to a celebrity. It's in the conversation for coolest would be Lin-Manuel Miranda. And we had him on the show, and he referred to me by name, obviously, several times, because I've known him for a very long time. And it makes you feel very good. And yes, I brought that story up just so we could play drops of Michael saying his name.
Juan Manuel Garcia. Juan Manuel Ortega.
Nice job.
Now, in all fairness, before people think Michael's just offensive or an idiot, this was at the beginning, and Michael was still learning who Lin-Manuel Miranda was. And can you imagine botching it that badly now, how big a star he is?
I couldn't botch it. I love everything about him, even Mary Poppins.
He said, Ebro said that the other day he watched Hamilton with his daughter, and Issa just kept asking how the guy from Mary Poppins got into this musical.
I love it.
But seriously, what a run he's had to be in something as specialized as musical theater and be that big a star. It's unheard of.
He actually said something that I've always believed in, like, you know, so they taped Hamilton and then they played it on Disney Plus and it's been a huge hit. So somebody asked him, are you thinking about doing a movie? He goes, I'm paraphrasing. He said, musicals like they don't do it for me. He goes, people just don't break out in song in the middle, you know. It would be a tough thing to do in a musical, I think, or in a movie.
But there is an In the Heights movie coming out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if that's done the same way. I'm not sure. You know what? I think the only way to start off ENN tonight is with a Tiger Watch.
Tiger Watch.
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Tiger, there he is. He's ready to go. He's at the Memorial this week. His first time on the course in an official capacity since February 16th. Obviously, it's a different world. Let's hear from El Tigre.
That's the risk that I'm taking. That's the risk that all of us are now taking. I know there's the tour's done a fantastic job of setting up the safety of and trying to ensure that all of us are protected and are safe. But it is a risk that we are now undertaking when you're outside your property and around individuals that you don't know where they've been or what they've been doing. So the screening, the testing we've done, the protections that we've tried to implement on the tour have shown that we've had to make adjustments. It's a risk that I'm willing to take.
He's back, baby. Hey, RJ, do you have the audio also of Tiger talking about how things are different and sort of strange?
Does
it's a different world coming back now, Michael, from when he left.
Is it with Lisa Bonet? You keep bringing that up.
What do you mean?
A different world? A different world, yeah.
Here's Tiger.
Some of the guys that when they first played the first couple of weeks, it was very different to have no one yelling, no one screaming, no energy, the social distancing, no handshakes. Some guys are used to taking the cap off after every round and doing handshakes. That's just part of the traditions of the game. That changed. Contacts, how close can I be to my caddy? Those are all different questions that the players are trying to figure out on the fly as we're trying to get back into our season and participate in our sport at a high level again. These are some of the guys feel weird about it. Other guys acclimated to it very quickly. Not having family around out here, when you're at the golf course, what kind of contact are you going to have? Some of the players, where are you going to go work out? Are you going to be able to go work out at a gym? No, you can't go to the gyms. What are you going to do here? Face masks, where are all the, trying to figure out where are all the guidelines, and the guys are trying to figure out on the fly and also compete. And so it was very complicated trying to get a routine, well, for most of the players.
See, what's happening in the world now actually plays into my phobias.
Okay.
I don't like to touch people. I don't even like to be close to people. Except my wife and kids. I really don't like being around
people. You're not a big physical guy.
No. Although people that I like, big hugs and stuff like that, but it's not going to be hard. The new world's not going to be hard for me. It's just not. I'll be fine.
I think you're going to be okay. RJ, I just sent you a new piece of audio. Tell me if you listen to it, if you think that's worthwhile.
Can you name another star from a different world? Lisa Bonet is the easy one.
Kadeem Hardison.
How about one more? The breakout star, I think.
The breakout star of a different world.
Jasmine Guy.
Jasmine Guy was fly, of course. That's a biggie quote, by the way.
What was Kadeem? Dwayne?
Dwayne Wayne.
Dwayne Wayne, yeah.
Believe me, I couldn't get over the name Dwayne Wade when he came out. When we first heard about Dwayne Wade at Marquette, all I could think about was Dwayne Wayne and his flip-up glasses.
Which were just fly.
Thank you. Cam Newton spoke. He's talking to the world. And he's saying things.
Like?
He said that replacing Tom Brady is, quote, the elephant in the room as he joins the Patriots. But noted that his skill set offers something that the Patriots have never had at quarterback. And the team is getting a fully motivated Newton. This all came as part of a roundtable discussion on YouTube with old Odell Beckham Jr., Todd Gurley, and our very own Victor Cruz. Now, Odell Beckham Jr. had things to say.
Oh, yeah.
He said this in that same roundtable, which was on Odell's YouTube channel. He said that his blonde hair is back. That's right. He had decided to kind of go with a laid-back hairstyle last season, his first in Cleveland, but during this conversation. He said the blonde is back, and he said he's bringing a new attitude to the 2020 season. For me this year, I'm trying to kill. Like, that's it.
So what was he trying to do last year?
Not trying to kill.
Not trying to kill. By the way, you know who wears blonde better? Marcus Stroman wears blonde better.
You're enjoying that better.
Oh, much better than Odell.
I wonder, and I know I ask RJ to do a lot, but this Odell story makes me think, I wonder what his former head coach and now Giants assistant, Freddie Kitchens, would possibly have to say about the idea that this year he's trying to quote-unquote kill it.
I'm gonna kill you, Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie, are you upset that Odell wasn't trying to kill last year?
You know what, Mikey? I'm going to tell you something right now. Live here on this here AM, FM, megahertz radio.
Not AM.
Just like the one my pa had. We used to gather around a table and listen to Dolly Parton on Pa's old radio. And he'd always say, Freddie, you ever seen a pair of honkers like that? And I'd say, Daddy, what are you talking about? And him and my mama would laugh. And I still to this day, I don't know what honkers are. Anyway, I'm sorry.
You as digress.
What was I saying now about the radio?
Something about Odell.
Oh, yeah, Odell. You some of good. When I hear him say, I'm trying to kill, that bothers me. It bothers Freddie Kitchens in my soul. Because you know me, Michael. I come on this program and I talk to you and Dom and the Jewish feller and we talk. And what's the one thing I always say every single time?
Kill someone.
I'm gonna kill you. And now that I'm gone, Odell wants to talk about killing. You were supposed to kill when I was there. And if you had killed...
You'd still have your job, Freddie, if you killed.
See, that's the thing. If Odell had killed when I was there, we could kill together. But now, you want to talk about it now that Freddie Kitchens gone? Well, guess what? You know what that makes me want to do? Now, I'm going to kill you. That's right. That's right. I didn't even have to say it because there's a drop for it. I'm going to kill you.
Wow. He covered a lot there. We talked about Dolly Parton. I wonder if Freddie Kitchens is listening to the new Dolly Parton podcast. I'm not sure.
Who does he talk to when he calls in? He talks to me, Dom, and who else?
The Jewish feller.
Oh, gotcha.
The Eagles have re-signed future Hall of Famer, Pro Bowl left tackle Jason Peters.
Oh, I love this guy.
No, we know you do. Guy. He's been arguably the best left tackle in football for 11 seasons. But the 38-year-old is coming back to play guard. After a season-ending Achilles injury to Brandon Brooks, they decided to bring the old man back and move it on over to guard. So $3 million in guarantees for the 38-year-old. Hey, I know this is a silly question. Did anything ever happen? Did Trent Williams go somewhere? I literally can't remember.
Yeah, he got traded.
Oh, he's in San Francisco. Yeah. He's with RJ. I'm okay. Ugh, it stinks. Derrick Henry and the Titans are not going to be able to reach a deal by tomorrow, according to Adam Schefter. Derrick Henry is scheduled to make $10.27 million this season playing on the franchise tag. Of course, he led the league in rushing last year, 1,540 yards. I mean, he willed this team to an incredible season. And I guess he was hoping to get a real deal and not play on the franchise tag. But doesn't look like it's going to happen. So we'll have to settle for a measly $10 million.
Now, who's the guy on the Browns got a big deal?
Chubbs?
No.
Chubbs?
Miles Garrett, who was suspended for the Mason Rudolph situation. It's like $125 million, and it's got to just infuriate Jamal Adams, because he's a guy who's at his third year. This is his fourth year, and the Jets don't want to do it. And everybody, and I think they're smartly saying, "We have control of you for two more years. Well, the Browns have control of Myles Garrett for two more years. He's coming up being suspended, and they gave him the money. And Jamal Adams is probably saying, I've never done anything wrong, and I can't get the money. But you know what the difference, Jamal, is? Myles Garrett didn't open his mouth. He just played.
Yes, he once tried to maim or kill someone. But besides that, he just played.
He just played.
But he's a D-end, right? Myles Garrett's front. He's on the. He's up front. I mean, it's just different money. You know.
I get it.
If people believe you are a dominant player up front, it's different.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, Michael, I'm excited to play you a clip I have here from Taylor Rooks on Bleacher Report. I'm told you'll find the this conversation to be interesting. This is Taylor asking Spencer Dinwiddie some questions about what message he has to players who've decided to play inside the bubble.
Any words for anybody in the bubble?
Yeah, to all my fellow NBA players, don't call the snitch hotline. Don't cross the line to get Postmates. Don't fly L.A. work out. And last but not least, the Brooklyn Nets are coming for you. That's the way it works.
Well, until the end.
Did you catch everything there?
Postmates.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fly L.A. whatever out.
Don't fly L.A. work out.
What does that mean?
What do you think?
It means women.
Right.
But why is it called L.A. work?
L.A. work. I believe he'd be referring to... Like Instagram model women, L.A. types.
Okay.
Words as tools, but as weapons.
I don't know if they like being referred to as L.A. work.
Who would? It's pejorative.
Right. I mean, I don't even know if LeBron James would like to be referred to that way. He does work in L.A.
Peter, did you
I'll be here all
any chance today... See Burger King's new initiative?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So this is the actual tweet. I don't know if I can say this word, but this is the actual tweet, so RJ will decide. I'll change the word because I don't think
it's not going to fly.
Cow gas and burps are no laughing matter. They release methane, contributing to climate change. That's why we're working to change our cows' diet by adding lemongrass to reduce their emissions by approximately 33%. Learn about our ongoing study. Now, this tweet, which is verified Burger King account, is now accompanied by a video where kids dressed as cowboys are like strumming their guitar and they're walking through the intestines of a cow.
Wow.
You can't believe the times in which we're living right now.
Now, listen, it is true. The message they're getting across is important.
I get it.
Describing it that way in a social media post is an interesting choice.
It's amazing. And the word was not gas that they used.
No.
It rhymes with darts.
You're saying, let me think for a second. You're saying it's a synonym for gas, and it rhymes with the word darts.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got it. I think you could have said it, but I think it's beneath you.
That's true. I don't need it because it becomes a drop then.
Yeah, and you're too classy.
Is that right?
That's right. That's right, Marshawn. Now, Michael... a couple interesting things. Well, you know what? Before I even get to that, Michael did it earlier as a sort of just a news update.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's worth us repeating. It bears repeating here in ENN. You know, so many millions of people just listen to the ENN podcast because this is such a delectable part of the show. There is reportedly a promising coronavirus vaccine. A COVID-19 vaccine developed by the biotech company Moderna, in partnership with the NIH, has been found to induce immune responses in all of the volunteers who received it in a phase one study. This is published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which I often refer to as fake news. Just kidding. And it showed that the vaccine worked to trigger an immune response with mild side effects like fatigue, chills, headache, muscle pain at the injection site. It makes it the first U.S. vaccine candidate to publish results in a peer-reviewed medical journal. It's expected to begin later this month a large phase three trial.
Which is the last phase.
The final trial stage before regulators consider whether to make the vaccine available. They released a press release that said if all goes well in future studies, the company remains on track to be able to deliver approximately 500 million doses per year and possibly up to 1 billion doses per year beginning in 2021. Pretty major news.
And the one thing that I found about these pharmaceutical companies, they usually err on the side of negativity or not being optimistic. So when you see after hours trading where Moderna has gone up, I think 12% in their valuation, you see airline stocks taking off, Disney stocks taking off. We can only hope and pray for whatever God you believe in. I mean, we as a world, we need this to try to return to almost close to the normalcy that we used to have. So whoever you talk to in your private moments, let's root this home. That would be unbelievable if it's true.
Oh, it'd be so great.
And one other thing with this prospective vaccine, you would take two shots each a month apart, and that would be it. And now, I don't know if that would do it for life or if it would be like a flu vaccine where you'd have to do it every year.
Either way, at this point, it would be absolutely game-changing.
Oh, now, game-changing, more than that, life-changing.
Yeah, completely world-changing. Now, do you think if a vaccine comes up, I wonder just how, like, do you still keep working on, you also keep working on better ways to treat it, right?
I would think, because I don't think any vaccine is ever 100% effective. Like, the flu vaccine is usually 70% effective, so people do still get the flu.
And if there were a billion doses, that's still... There's 7 billion people in the world. So it's not like everyone would get a vaccine.
And there are people that are, you know, against vaccines. They wouldn't even want one.
A few things happen on this day in history.
What?
We'll go work backwards. Last year, 2019, Novak Djokovic beat Roger Federer 7-6, 1-6, 7-6, 4-6, 13-12 in the longest Wimbledon final ever. The match clocked in at 4 hours and 57 minutes.
Pretty incredible. Unbelievable how good it was.
Yeah, this year is going to be great. Oh, wait. Sorry. There is no Wimbledon this year. In 2004, a player named Shaq Diesel was traded by the Los Angeles Lakers to the Miami Heat for Caron Butler, Lamar Odom, Brian Cook, and a future first-round choice. It was the official end of the Shaq-Kobe era that brought three titles to Los Angeles.
Okay, so Peter, I think I texted you this over the weekend. There's a book coming out in September called Three Rings, and it's about the Lakers that won the three championships. With Phil, Kobe, Shaq, the whole gang. And it's by Jeff Perlman, who's really a good writer and a good reporter.
Derek Fisher, Rick Fox.
Right. Fascinating group of characters.
Yep.
And he sent me electronically an advanced copy because we're going to have him on the show.
Can you forward that to me?
And I think I could if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm on the show.
It is Peter and our listeners, it's unbelievable. And I will never, ever talk ill of the dead. So it's not me. The way Kobe Bryant is portrayed, I mean, people on the record, he was, I mean, he maybe in his second act, when Phil came back and he won the two championships without Shaq, maybe changed. So there's another book there. They detested him. Everybody on the team, including Phil Jackson. When you read about some of the stuff that Kobe would do, it's mind-boggling. I couldn't put the book down because I even texted Jeff afterward. I said, wow, this, talk about a page turner. He goes, I wonder how it's going to be received because Kobe looks so bad in it. He goes, it's a little bit of a concern. I said, it's not like you said he's a bad guy. People are quoted. Shaq is quoted. Rick Fox quoted. Phil Jackson quoted. I mean, Isaiah Ryder is quoted giving unbelievable quotes. It goes back to the day when he went to his high school prom at Lower Marion
with Brandy.
I guess Brandy, right?
Yep.
And how that was all, it was all set up. He didn't know Brandy. She didn't know him. It was set up. And how he got out of the Nets drafting him. It was, you will not be able to put this book down.
It's going to be very interesting, though, because, you know, everyone had heard stories about Kobe, you know, that he was more Jordan-like, you know, than on the court. It went beyond his play on the court in terms of just his approach and what he was like and how difficult he was early. But, yes, everyone does seem to believe the second act was very different. But then, of course, he dies in this unbelievably tragic way, which is, every time I say it, still hard for me to believe that he's gone. And now the book, which was worked on before that, comes out.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fascinating to see how it's received. And you almost feel for the players because the fact of the matter is, this may not be good, it may not be right, but it is how life is. You speak differently of people who are alive and well as opposed to when they've died tragically. And that makes sense. You know, listen, you can believe that Shaq had a lot of negative things to say about Kobe and also believe that he was heartbroken by his death. Those things aren't mutually exclusive.
And the thing that comes out in the book is that everybody wanted him gone. Everybody wanted him traded. Everybody wanted him out of there. And the only guy who saved him was Jerry Buss.
Was Jerry Buss or Jerry West?
Jerry Buss. Even Jerry West, who is the one who engineered it and realized his greatness, could not believe how Kobe acted. But Jerry Buss, despite, and the rape case in Denver is in there as well. Jerry Buss looked at him as like his son. He could do no wrong. So when it came down to who do we get rid of, Shaq or Kobe?
There was no
Buss
conversation.
Said Shaq is gone.
Wow. Fascinating. What's the name of the book again?
Three Rings.
Yeah, can you forward that to me now? Thanks. It's legit. I'm on the show. I want to read it.
All right.
And lastly, on this day in 1970.
And right into the stretch. Looking back and throws up the middle. Rose is on his way around. Picked up by Otis. Rose is coming to the plate. Throws a throw. He's in. It's all over. The National League wins.
Controversial barreling over of Ray Fosse by Pete Rose in the 12th inning of the All-Star game. Imagine sustaining a fractured and separated shoulder in a collision in an All-Star game. It
ruined
healed
Ray's
him correctly,
career.
Caused him chronic pain, and really ruined his career.
He's such a nice man. He's been the longtime broadcaster of the A's, and I mean, you can't even imagine it happening today. Players are all the same fraternity. They would never do that, ever.
Different time. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening.
On a sad note, truly, everybody from the show wants to send out our heartfelt condolences to our good friend Bruce Beck, who a couple of months ago lost his dad and today lost his mom, 91 years old, Doris. He was very, very close with Doris. She was a former mayor of Livingston, New Jersey. Obviously, they were very proud of Bruce. Bruce was we all wish that we had children like this as parents. That's how much he cared and loved for them. And I know he's hurting today. His family is hurting, especially on the heels of losing the dad a couple of months ago. So we send out our condolences to one of the best people in our business. I don't know if there's a person out there that knows Bruce Beck that doesn't like and respect Bruce Beck. He's one of the good guys. And I know he's hurting today, so we send out our love and our condolences from everybody here at 98.7.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.